one of the most important things you could possibly do as a father is to be the leader of worship in your home. It is the weekly tradition. It is the center place of no matter what happens in our family, all of the craziness, this thing is happening because God has commanded his Sabbath on our family. We walk through this doorway into his rest that he commands us. Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. Now, Mark, you and I, it's been several weeks now, but we had a lengthy conversation. Was it too deep for some? Was there too much information for some? I don't know. I don't know what the people thought. But we had a long conversation about the Sabbath, or as the Hebrews say, the Shabbat, and what the Bible has to say about the Sabbath, about keeping it or not keeping it. And we tend to fall on the side of keeping it. If you're new to us like this week, well, you can go back, look a few episodes in the past, and you will find an episode about this kind of biblical theory behind the Sabbath. But the people want to know. I knew they would want to know, and indeed they do want to know, some practical helps. Give me some handholds. What is it that you're doing? You say you don't work. What do you mean you don't work? Do you never check email? What do you mean that you not to light a fire in the home is one of those verses. So are you guys cooking? Do you not cook? Now, wait a second. If you're not cooking, are you ordering out pizza? Because if you order out pizza, aren't you spending money? And isn't that the exchange of money? Aren't you making other people work? If you order out pizza, there's many questions about the way one executes the Sabbath day. So I thought it would just be helpful for us to just start with. In the past, we've talked to several people about what do you do? Tell us how you walk through a Sabbath. But just for the sake of review and being clear, I'd like for us to start with what in the world do we do? So let's start with you, Mark. What in the world do you do?
Okay, I'm going to caveat all of this by saying I knew this conversation was coming, and sometimes maybe you can relate to me, Steve, maybe you can't at all, but sometimes when the talk of the Shabbat comes up, I feel like I'm being a little bit of a fake because I have my aspirational, what do I do? And then I've got the weeks where I go, I might have done 3% of that. And so
that's fair.
If you know me, or if you're somebody who bumps into me on the Shabbat sometimes and you go, I saw you look at your cell phone when we were together, I'm just telling you right now, I will tell you what I intend to do and what we do that we find goes really well for our family. I'm not here to tell you we have our Shabbat practices completely buttoned up and you can rely on us to always do it correctly and perfectly. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
For us, I say this all the time. We started out, the Shabbat was light a candle and buy a pizza. And it was almost entirely about that first Friday night dinner. That was just the symbolic moment at which we were able to sort of say to the Lord, we want to honor your design and your command by resting for the next day. We still light a candle, like we talked about in the last episode about Shabbat. We almost always do a lot more than just a pizza these days, though. So you know me, you and I just swung through Texas. And one of the things that when I look back on that week that makes me go, this was such a wonderful week, is all the food we ate. We ate some insanely, I'm going to shout out to our friend Tim, who took us to, for the second time in 2 years, took us to enjoy the best fajitas that you can buy anywhere on the planet.
Of Prosper, Texas. Thank you, Tim Wu.
But we ate well all over the DFW area. And I would say that for my family, at least, that's always a winner, is when we can connect around the table. So typically, we'll try to put some extra effort in, and that could mean I'm going to be kind of working at the house on Friday, so I'm going to smoke something all day on the smoker. It could mean, especially in the winter times, I'm not as big of a fan of using the smoker in the snow, so maybe my wife and my daughters will. We have this book that I think you guys have too. It's a Shabbat cookbook. Also, an Abraham's Wallet listener gave that to my wife, I believe. And it's really fun. It's full of Hebrew traditional recipes, and they're all pretty hard to pull off. They're a lot of them are very complicated. And it has just brought me tons of joy to see my wife and daughters connect over food that might take 3 or 4 or 5 hours, all said and done, to create. So that then becomes kind of a Friday afternoon activity for them.
I bet there's a shakshuka recipe in there. It's that tomato sauce that has peppers and onions in it. And then you crack eggs and poach the eggs in the tomato stuff.
Wow, we haven't tried that yet.
Oh my gosh, I just love it.
The stuffed artichoke, probably my favorite yet, which was like spiced beef stuffed in between the leaves of an artichoke and then baked
wow.
and topped with special stuff. It was so wow. good. And it took, the cool thing about that recipe is it took a long time to eat it too. So if you have one-year-olds, don't make a five-hour dinner that takes 3 hours to
sure.
eat. But if you have children nearing kind of adolescence and up, then they're ready for a fun, long, slow dinner where we talk and we get together.
I call those project foods. They're always fun. It's like having to shell your own crab while you eat it. That's a project food.
So the food is an important ingredient for us. I'm happy to share our little typical Shabbat liturgy that we use, which includes the blessings that I use when we do Shabbat. And it includes a little bit of some of the artifacts that we go through when we're doing Shabbat. It's something that if somebody comes to the table and has no idea what's going on, I can hand them and they'll go, okay, I kind of see where we're going. And I can even like read a section and feel like I'm participating.
I can already see that we've hit on there's two big parts of the Sabbath. One is the opening meal. The other is the way that you run the next day. So let's concentrate on the meal, that kind of first gathering, and then we'll get to the rest of the day later. So what we'll do is we can put the copy of your rundown. We'll put it in the show notes.
Awesome.
Right? Okay, so talk us through it.
So our meal goes like this. We start by putting the in Shabbat. This is really helpful if you have little kids, but we will take about 60 seconds. And I'm, as father, kind of judging the table. When I've got the nephews over and there's a 9-month-old, I might have a 20-second Shin Shabbat. But we take some moment, usually not more than a minute, just to all sit totally silently.
Oh, I like that.
Prepare ourselves for the meal. Game changer if you've got little ones. Then the oldest woman at the table will kind of lead the candle lighting, and she'll say, "Blessed are you, our Father, ruler of the universe, who has given us rest through Jesus, our Messiah, and invites us to experience his coming kingdom, beginning with the lighting of the candles of Shabbat." And she will...
I had a little sense of Shabbat just hearing you read that blessing. And this is Wednesday afternoon, but I was doing it for me.
The Father's looking down on you and saying, "Get back to work, buddy." But
right
after she lights it, usually about my wife, she'll go slowly through that statement sometimes. So my youngest daughter, for whatever reason in our family, her role is kind of what you had described last time we talked about this. She'll go a big and then be holding her breath. And as soon as the candle is lit, it's and now we're off.
I love it.
And so that's kind of how we start. We will then sing Shabbat Shalom. I usually grab my guitar. We used to, when the kids were really small, the last verse, they would just smash away on the table and drum. And that has kind of persisted, so that even though now we don't have really little kids, we're still banging on the table for the last verse. Mark Douglas, our friend and occasional Abraham's Wallet guest, has shown us that hand washing can be a really cool piece of the service. So we'll wash hands, and sometimes we'll talk about Jesus washing us. Sometimes we'll talk about as a husband, part of my job is washing the wife in the word and the scripture. Like, there's all sorts of cool things that we can do with the hand washing that fold our practice of Jesus worship into the traditional Shabbat service. And then we will read something from the scripture, which we do every night before we eat dinner. This one might be a little longer. So right now we're going through Genesis as a family, and whereas I might pick out one difficult question from the text if we're just doing a regular Tuesday night dinner, this night I'm going to go for all of them. I'm going to say, well, you know, Cain, he kills Abel and he's ashamed. And it says right afterwards, he ventures off into the land next door and finds a wife. I'm like, where did that wife come from? Let's talk about this. So, we'll go through those kind of midrashy questions a little bit. And then another thing we like to do that I've talked about on here before is we've got our family vision statement up on the wall. I'll ask the kids, or I'll pick one of them or all of them, say, what's the Parrot family vision statement? And they'll say, okay, here it is. And I'll say, tell me something this week where you felt like I was really being a parrot according to that statement. And some weeks it's a hit, and other weeks they're like, I don't know. And so with all of this stuff, success rate varies. Don't get frustrated, but it's good to just kind of continue to drill that in. And the last thing, all these have a little asterisk next to them, except we always sing Shabbat Shalom and we always do some scripture reading. But the last kind of optional item before we do blessings is communion. Often we will take communion as a family with whoever's at the table with us. And then we've gotten through kind of some of those steps. We do blessings. We always do blessings. It's a special treat if we have sons at the table to bless, because I did not produce any sons, but we'll bless the sons. If there's another father at the table, I'll usually have him do at least one of the blessings, and I'll hand him my paper that has the blessings, and I'll say, you can read this, or you are more than welcome to freestyle blessings. That's totally up to you, because I always want, I don't want them to feel like they're following Mark's lead. I want them to kind of get a little taste for being the father at the Shabbat table that gets the privilege of blessing the generation. So we'll bless sons, then we'll bless daughters, and then we will bless always the mothers. We've talked about this too, but Shabbat is also the only of the Jewish feasts that happens weekly, and it's known as the Shabbat or the Feast of Mothers. So every mother that hears me say that, if they're like visiting our house for Shabbat, they go, well, that's kind of nice. That makes sense. I need a feast every week because I'm working hard. So we always bless the mothers. And then we pray, and then we eat.
I'm trying to listen to you as a neophyte. And here's my question. What you're describing sounds far more formal than any family usually has any meal, including Thanksgiving and Christmas. It just sounds so formal. And it sounds like dad presiding, which doesn't sound bad. Kind of sounds like something a little bit comforting and homey there. But I think the question that people might ask is, with all of this reading going on and the leading of discussion and everyone be quiet while mother lights a candle, do the children chafe? Do they like this process, this formality?
I do think dad is kind of presiding over this. I don't think his job is to crush any opposition that arises from small children, for example. Part of the magic of getting good at this, in my mind, is being able to kind of read your room and say, okay, we're kind of losing little two-year-old nephew here, so I need to maybe pull it back in. I'm going to ask a really easy question. I'm going to get the kids excited right now. It's like when we do Passover. That can be a three-hour, solemn, long, formal thing, and I think there's a lot of fun in that for adults and value, but Don't try to do that with a 5-year-old. You're going to lose them, and you're going to then lose their parents, and it's going to be a disaster. So I don't know. It's something that all of these things are options, and some of them involve touch and taste. Like, Dad, you're going to wash my hands? That's funny. You're going to have something that I taste. Okay. We're going to sing a song. You might not do family vision. How'd you live it out? Might not do your scripture reading. Could be 3 verses if you're losing the table. That's okay. So I just say, start small and build your endurance, because this, like anything, is a training.
Yeah. The one thing I really like that you described is having a script, to have things printed out, and then you just kind of work your way through them, and you could shove the paper over to the wife and she does her candle blessing and then you do your stuff. Because a lot of dads think that would be, I would love to kind of be the worship leader in the home. There's a great book out there called Family Worship. There's something like, one of the most important things you could possibly do as a father is to be the leader of worship in your home. So to have a layup, to have it written out for me that I could stand up and say, hey, everybody, we're going to try something new tonight. I'm going to walk through the script. Mom's got a candle ready. We've got a pitcher and a bowl that we're going to kind of do this water thing. And let's just see how it goes. It's doable. It's possible. And I think that you would have the children's attention if you wanted to just try it. And the point of having this kind of meal is that it is the traditional, it's not in the Bible. This meal is not in the Bible, but there is a traditional Jewish way of ringing in the Sabbath. And it's important to cut a designation between this was the working week and it ends with the taking of this meal. So this is how we're starting, and here's the magic word, a tradition that happens every single week. It is the weekly tradition. It is the center place of, no matter what happens in our family, all of the craziness, this thing is happening because God has commanded his Sabbath on our family. We walk through this doorway into his rest that he commands us. My experience is that children love the tradition of it. They love that we're doing the same thing over and over again. They love being able to predict the next moves. They might like it if there's a change up occasionally, but you know, it's just like for you, Esther, doing her big breath hold. She loves it. She looks forward to it. She knows every week that's her move. She's going to do that thing. So my sort of encouragement would be, if you have squirmy wormies, 3, 4, 5-year-old squirmy kids, and you're like, I don't think they like it that much, just hang on, Dad. Just be faithful. Sow for yourselves faithfulness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. I think that will happen for you, is that you'll find the children, they might not have said it. They didn't know how to articulate the way they're feeling. There's something about the tradition, the repetition of these steps that you take through in the opening of your Sabbath, that it resets your family. It puts everyone at rest. So that's my little advertisement. Back to you, unless you have something else to say. I would like to hear, as an example, talk to us about these blessings. What does a blessing sound like?
Well, a blessing, I'll read you one.
Okay.
Which one do you want to hear? You want to hear mothers, daughters, sons?
Well, mothers would probably be interested, who are listening, to go, you bless the moms. Let's hear the blessing.
Okay, here it is. May the Lord give you rest as you enter into this Sabbath. May you be like the mother of Lemuel, who taught him how to be a king and how to see and identify a good woman. May your daughters see you running a household with skill, and may your character be a part of the reason why your husband is respected and welcomed among the elders in your city. May you be so good at the tasks in front of you that you feel like you always have capacity for more. And may you look on your family from today until you die and draw satisfaction from their successes and skills, knowing that you deliberately built character and wisdom into each child that the Lord entrusted you with.
That's great. Where'd you get that?
I wrote it. One of my sort of things I try to throw into my blessings is not that we have to stop and explain them, but some little things that maybe aren't just everybody knows exactly what you mean. And like on my mother's blessing, I started out, may you be like the mother of Lemuel. He's the king that wrote Proverbs 31. So when we talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, we assume that his mother is the one who kind of demonstrated and taught him how to look for this wife of good character.
Gotcha.
And that's kind of one of the things that we want to bless our mothers with, is that they would be not just Proverbs 31 women, but that they would be Proverbs 31 creating types of women, whether they're teaching sons that this is how you find the right wife, or teaching daughters this is how you become the wife that the Lord intends. So
yeah,
I like to throw Easter eggs in like that. I mean, Ephraim and Manasseh are mentioned in my son's blessing. That's one that a lot of people don't really know. And my daughter's blessing, we're praying that you'd be like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, with the heart of Ruth, the faith of Mary, and the righteousness of Christ. So we're calling back to the scriptures as we go through these blessings.
Yeah.
And that's just a piece that we like to do. So we'll do those blessings for all three.
Another thing that makes me think of is sometimes people think that you have to be kind of like a charismatic wizard to come up with a blessing on the spot that feels scriptural and prophetic and emotional and whatever. And it's totally legal to sit down on a Tuesday morning and think, well, how would I want to bless my sons? And then it's written and you simply read it to them and you do it over and over and over again, or you change it up a little bit or whatever. It's totally legal. It's good.
And sometimes I do go 100% off script. I mean, you and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and there had been multiple situations in her medical practice where Amelia had directly intervened in situations that resulted in lives being saved, you know, counseling women to keep babies and things like that. And we're going to bless that. We're going to say, yeah, the Lord sees your faithfulness and is using you and is proud of you. Like, we're going to kind of speak some of those things, and it might be totally off script. So we do that. The only other thing I wanted to say real quick on the meal for us is that there's wisdom to how you can set this up to be better by not giving away all your best stuff during the week. We're not going to go have our favorite food just on a whim in the middle of the week when we could save it for Shabbat and make that like a part of the pomp and circumstance. So
it's great.
Whatever it is, if there's things that your family loves, consider saving them for the Shabbat.
I'll give mine a quicker walkthrough. Let me just throw in some other possible elements here. I know, for instance, the Wolfenbergs, it's like 5 o'clock or 5:30 on a Friday night. It's like everything stops and everybody heads for the bathrooms and everybody gets clean and everybody does their hair. And I think the girls do some jewelry maybe. And I know for a fact that Justin, unlike every other time in his life, wears a shirt and tie, and they do it up. So one thing that my family likes to do is we want to make much of it. So how do you make much of it? And so my girls will run out and pick wildflowers and put them in vases. We'll get out the interesting serving platters or whatever. The point is, this is the high point of the week. This is the hallowed time of the week. So we don't typically dress up, but I think that's a great thing. We have done that before. We're into the entering of the rest thing, but there is something about make it holy. That's the command. Make it holy. How do you make it holy? How do you set it apart? The lights are different. There's candles on the table. We also sing. We also read the Bible. We take communion. That is an absolute must for us. We always take communion. I'll just throw a little editorial on this. I want my children's central memory of taking communion to be that their father is the one who delivered it. Not a stranger in a big building with a bunch of other people, some of whom they know. And it was a, you know, thimble and a cracker. Nothing wrong with that. Knock yourself out. You can read the book of Jude and see that the communion, the love feast of the early church was, we're about to eat wonderful food. This is the picture of the fullness of what Jesus affords us. He gives us everything, and it's like a feast. So we like to do it up for the Sabbath, and delivering communion is always for sure. We also do blessings. We also do mom lighting a candle. We also, from time to time, so we're going to have guests this week. So I'm sure whenever we have guests, we typically do the pouring of water over the hands and saying, you know, Mark's line is always something like, Jesus makes you clean. And because he makes you clean, you can enter to this table. So now let's say what happens when, oh, the candle is lit and we're all relaxed and dad pushes back from the table and we're all enjoying, you know, this, the warm glow of rest that's taken over. Now what happens? Well, there's a couple of questions to ask any of us, which is for the next 24 hours-ish, what does not working mean? That's a really key question. What does it mean to not work? Well, I've asked my friend John Myers about this, a Jewish pastor. I settle a lot of kind of practical Bible questions with him. And what does it mean to not work? And he said, you know, I got to tell you that one of my joys of my week is riding my John Deere lawnmower around my 2-acre property. And I will listen to worship music, or I'll just talk to the Lord. And I just love it. It's a time, it's alone time. It's reflective time. It's like some people might stare out the window looking at a sunset, and it gets the same thing for them as me riding that John Deere riding lawnmower. He's like, it's not my normal work. It's not my job. You could say it's a household task. I guess you could. He's like, I've just worked through it with the Lord and we're good with it. And it's not something that stresses him out. It actually removes stress from him. So that's always a helpful story to consider. Well, what's work? Well, if you love woodworking and you never get a chance to do it because you're an accountant, and there's shelves in the house that we're waiting on shelves, you know, well, I'm going to go out to the shed and I'm going to work on the shelves. You're working. Hold on, Dad. The wrath of God will be visited from heaven. No, the thing to remember is no regular work. So I attach that with my normal responsibilities that have to do with my work. I won't touch those. I won't touch emails. I won't touch texts that are on those lines. I'm just not going to have anything to do with it. Yes, it's for the Lord. I'm obeying him. It's also for me. I've just learned over the years that my soul really delights in that removal time. So both my wife and I do that. We try to keep our hands clean of anything that has to do with regular work. And I would say the management of money is in that same bucket, that we're not going to be checking our Fidelity accounts. We're not going to be looking at stocks. I feel that's a sin for me. I'm not going to be looking at bank accounts or, well, what's the price of Bitcoin today? No, I won't be doing that on the Sabbath. And I'm not talking to anybody. That I got this again from Jews. They're not talking to anybody about business. If you're a watchmaker and somebody tells you on the Sabbath that their watch doesn't work, and you're thinking, oh, that's possible income, you cannot answer that question on the Sabbath. You just go, oh, your watch broken. Interesting. You come back the next day and say, hey, I remembered something that you said on the Sabbath about your watch. I wonder if you need my help. But you wouldn't do that on the Sabbath because it's connected to your work and the making of money, which is a lower, think of the five capitals, is a lower concern. And we're not doing that today. So for me, let me just be practical. When the meal's over, we try to let mom off the hook that she doesn't have anything to do with the cleaning of the kitchen. So me and the kids do that. That needs to be upbeat and fun. That's part of us being off the clock. We're together. We're doing this together. I'm not being yelly about it. We're just being happy and being together. And then when dessert is served up, we're all sitting down and we're playing cards or we're playing a game because I want interaction with my team. I want talking and hearts. And if you do like highs and lows, what's a high of your week and low of your week, whatever. That's a great time to do that. Maybe you had time for that in the meal. Maybe you didn't. Let's just keep the conversation going. I just want to know the hearts of my people. We might take an evening walk together. I think that's terrific. I want things to be very relational and organic. And if I can avoid, I sometimes make this a law in my house. If I've had it up to here, sometimes I don't make it a law. But I'd really rather not have any electronics impinging upon the whole day. iPads, I mean TVs, I mean computers, I mean phones. So I monitor that. How much tolerance do I have for that? The next day, on the Saturday, my dream for a Sabbath is that I would have a men's midrash that morning. And so I get to go spend an hour and a half with men, chopping it up around the scriptures. That's very fun to me. I love to, now let's come home and let's do a late brunch. And everybody who needs to have slept in has done so. And now it's lattes and the whole thing. That's great. That the main thing for me of that day is we should have extended. I'm just talking about the Manuel family. You can do whatever you want. Extended quiet times. This is a time for us to seek the Lord. And so I'm happy to lead that. This is player's choice. Do I lead this as a father? Hey, everybody gather up. We're reading the scriptures. Or am I carving out room for, I know that there's a knock at the door and the neighborhood kids want you to go out. We're not going to do that yet. We're all going to spend some time with the Lord this morning. And then playing is a big deal for the Sabbath. So I love to go take family walks, love to go to the park on the Sabbath. I love games. I love being out in nature. I love being with other families. The point is that we are remembering the Lord. It's his day. He says this point in, I think it's Isaiah 58. It's not a day to do with as you please, God says. It's a day for me. So those kinds of things, reading, praying, playing, walking, exploring, fishing, I don't know what. To me, that's an ideal Sabbath.
I think a lot of those things, our Sabbaths will typically start, we will sleep in more that day than we do other days.
Sure.
No, like physical rest.
Hello.
Typically, Amelia and I will go to the gym and do like a workout that maybe we wouldn't have time for. We do a lot of like team workouts that day. So we might meet with like four of our friends and we're going to do a deck of cards workout where like every suit is a different exercise and like, oh, you got the seven of hearts. You got to do seven burpees. Now the ladies got to do seven burpees, whatever. And what I want that day is it to be like, I burn a lot of calories that morning, but I'm not just crushed. Like, I don't want to walk around dead for the rest of the day, but I want to be like, you know, it's the Sabbath, so I can get a burrito for lunch and I'm not going to feel bad about it because I made space in my morning workout. That's just, some people would say, oh, I hate working out. Well, don't do it on the Shabbat. That's fine. For us, it's like a treat. And then extended time with God, extended discipleship time, potentially between like my wife and my daughters, where, you know, I said to her not that long ago, I was like, we have got to make time on the Shabbat for you to teach these girls how to become you, because I'm so impressed with you. The best thing they could become, obviously this isn't true, they could become way better than either of us, But I would be tickled if they turn out like you, wife. So let's make sure that it happens. And this is a time when it's likely to have space. We're a sports family, so we might, you know, somebody might have a soccer game and we're all going to enjoy going and cheering and maybe bringing we might bring a grill. We might tailgate. We're a ski family. So in the middle of winter, there's a chance we're not often going to be at the ski resort sun up to sundown, but we might go take a few runs and just kind of zip over there. That's one of the benefits that you don't get almost anywhere else is we're, you know, 20 minutes from amazing skiing. So we can do it with an hour and a half instead of a full day. You know, so there's all kinds of things for us. Most of the play part of Shabbat is going to have sports. So whether that's skiing or golf or, you know, watching soccer or basketball, whatever, there's going to be something like that probably in the day. And then afternoons, it just totally depends, but that's time that we might do something. We might do a movie as a family. I'm doing something this summer, Steve, that I thought you would like, is I compiled a list of nutritious movies for the family. And the rule is you can pick any movie off this list. This is your television for the summer, because in the summertime, sometimes we've found in the past our kids watch more TV than we want them to.
Of course they do.
So we said, you can pick whatever you want, but you have to watch it for all the way through. You can't decide after 20 minutes you're bored. And then you have to write me a paper on it before you can turn the television on again. So until you've turned in that. So this is not a Shabbat thing, but I just thought, it's doing great because it's actually training writing and how to watch a movie and
getting
my kids exposed to some films that inevitably they're like, that sounds awesome. They turn on, they're like, wait, Dad, this is black and white. And I'm like, yep, enjoy it.
Can I give you an assignment, Mark? You can say no to this.
Sure.
I would like for you to turn that into a blog post on Abe's Wallet so you can publish your movie list along with what you do.
Yes, I'll do it. That's a great idea.
Great.
So those are kind of the things we do. The end of the Shabbat is when we're kind of entering dinner. The best Shabbats for me absolutely include no electronics. But again, sometimes I excel at that. Almost never do I go an entire Saturday where the phone is like left by my bedside, because we might run in two different directions for a second and I want to be able to communicate or something like that. So that's just kind of me thinking and kind of retrospecting that if I can plan a day that's going to have no electronics, it's also usually going to have we're all together for almost that whole day, which is another reason it's probably ends up being one of the best Shabbats. And then speaking of retrospective, I think the other thing that we try to do at the end of the day, that I took this and I made it way less nerdy and complicated, but you and I have a friend, Blake, who he just loves his spreadsheets and Google documents. And he gave a talk about how the Shabbat is this like repeatable exercise, and we're gonna program it, and then we're gonna give each time block a rating, and then over time it's gonna get better and better. Well, we don't do that, but what we do is say, was there anything that really, really stunk as a part of this Shabbat that we could never do again? You know, you thought it would be fun for us to all go walk 9 holes at the par 3 course, and I hated it. Okay, that's not fun for the whole family. Is there anything that was awesome that we should repeat from this Shabbat? And just kind of going through that exercise, it can take 5 minutes. What was great? What was terrible? We found that we kind of developed the arsenal of crafting our perfect Shabbat day together.
That's great. That's really good.
This is something Jeremy Pryor talks about all the time, is that the blessing of living rhythmically and having rhythms instead of goals we're not anti-goals, but like the blessing of rhythms is you get so many at-bats. So right. if you strike out, that's okay. It's not a disaster because the Shabbat is coming again.
There's another one coming.
We try our best to take advantage of that. And I would just say early on, I don't know if we've mentioned this. I think my wife and I would both tell you it was definitely several years before we got to a point where we thought this was something we loved and looked forward to. The early years when we had little kids and we were both working a ton, and it just felt like this just is making the rest of my week worse because I can't get all the other stuff done that I normally get done today. And I would just say that because there might be some sin in your life that causes you when you stop and are forced to honor the Sabbath, your body reacts against that and you just go, this isn't fun. I don't like this. That could be sin. It could also just be that you're in a stage where you don't get to sit on the lounge chairs and, you know, chill and have the perfect day for you because you've got three children under the age of three. And your Sabbath is going to look different than somebody whose kids are 19 and 17.
This reminds me of a very important point, which I have forgotten because I'm not in that stage anymore. Holy cow, it was so important for us during those young kid years that we gave each other an hour during the Sabbath. That it was like, this is your hour, leave, go away, get your head clear, go sit down in a park, go get yourself a coffee. And so that we need rest, right? And we're a team, so we can do that. Drop us off at the park. You go spend an hour. You come back, pick us up at the park. And then we take turns doing that. That was a huge thing for us. And by the way, forgive me. I just taught on this last night, so it's in my brain. But like, we know the scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. And for some of us, we're not good at being still. And that's his intention for you, is to be quiet. Sit there quietly. You don't need electronic stimulus right now. You need to be quiet, sit on the back deck with a delicious coffee in your hand or delicious bubbly beverage, and just sit there and let your brain decompress. It'd be a very good practice for a lot of us to do. And that's what the Sabbath is.
Yeah, I second that. I second the split up when you have small kids and tag team it, at least some of the time.
As always, follow-up questions will be fielded at Ur. Come
What's
to
Ur? Ur. What's Ur?
Ur is an online community space where you can leave messages, you leave videos in these kind of threads that are based on different kind of subjects. And everybody who's ever donated a buck to Abe's wallet is there. That just is a way of signifying, hey, I'm kind of an insider that makes this thing happen. So there's a few dozen people over there. We just spend time, and it's a great way for me to you know, talk to people personally, as opposed to, I don't know, put a comment on YouTube and hope that somebody replies. We can get real wisdom from real people. And I love to interact with people there. See you next time.